They might have held to the old adage that there's no business like show business. But in 1951, Hollywood Quarterly, serious journal that it was, set out to explore the business of show business. And they asked how well the film industry does at selling its product, its films, suggesting that advertising in show business has not come along very far since the advent of the walking billboard. Originally, they explain, the advertisement of a movie consisted of a poster on the wall beside the door to the theater. Then someone put a poster on each side of the door. The next strategy was to hire a man to carry a sandwich sign, a walking billboard, back and forth in front of the theater. Then they had him venture all over the neighborhood. And so on, right up to developing the 24 sheet used for outdoor advertising, the highway billboard poster. All that from Hollywood Quarterly, Winter 1951, a journal of moving pictures, radio, and technology. We're about to hear a story of movies and radio and a billboard with a slightly different inflection, but certainly one rooted in the notion of show business. It's an account told to us by someone who happens to be a very savvy business person and a successful and innovative filmmaker from Eastern Pennsylvania. For Zeke Zelker, taking care of the bottom line matters so that he can, of course, take care of his family, but also so that he'll be able to continue his passion, which is the making of films, creating them in a way that the community at large benefits, and especially the place where he grew up and returned to establish his studio, the state of Pennsylvania and the Lehigh Valley. And what's so wonderful is that he came to the WVIA studios wearing his heart on his sleeve, in a sense. We've heard it said that T-shirts are walking billboards, and the T-shirt Zeke Zelker was wearing during our conversation featured an outline of the state of Pennsylvania and the I Heart logo, a kind of walking billboard, saying clearly, simply, I love Pennsylvania. And what's also fascinating is the geography Zeke comes from and where he works in the more than literal sense. Lauren Rabinowitz has written an entire study titled Electric Dreamland about the kinship between amusement parks and movies in U.S. history. And she calls them a kind of geographic space of the imagination, each an electric dreamland, a technologically driven playground for audio-visual special effects and virtual realities. So, we're both amazed at the threads that have come together in Zeke Zelker's life, and then not so surprised as he lays it all out and tells the story of his newest feature film titled Billboard, how an amusement park in his life has so much to do with how he tells stories about his passion for movie making, his love for Pennsylvania, and commitment to community and to developing innovative ways of communicating to build community, entertaining us terrifically all the while. The movie Billboard centers around a billboard sitting contest sponsored by a radio station. It's more than a movie, though. It's a 25-episode web series as well, and a virtual radio station, WTYT96.com. Billboard was screened on home turf this past Thursday, to sold-out audiences to boot, and now it's on to Lewisburg and the Campus Theater, where we'll have a chance to see it this Sunday, November 11th, at 1 o'clock, with a Q&A to follow. Zeke Zelker, in fact, was headed back from Lewisburg to the Lehigh Valley, and he stopped in here at the Wyoming Valley to talk with us about how everything comes together in his life and work.
My family started Dorney Park back in 1884, and so I literally grew up in the amusement park. I don't know how many people could say that they were sliding down roller coasters on the rear ends as a huge slide, I being one of them. You know, so I really learned a lot about my business in a weird way. Not necessarily, nobody was a filmmaker or anything like that, but also a matter of kind of like building facades and kind of like building the spectacle for other people. And that's kind of like what I carried through into my latest piece.
When you were growing up, was radio part of the mix?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, being at the park, there was always some sort of cross promotion being done with radio. There was, like, I remember this crazy Jell-O dive where people would dive into a pool of Jell-O to pull out the key that started a car and all these sorts of things. So all this stuff kind of started getting rooted in my mind for what I've actually created now, which is Billboard, which is a feature film about a radio station that hosts a Billboard City contest. The story is loosely based on something that happened in the early 80s, but mine is completely fabrication from that. It's also set in current day, but we created a radio station. And so the interesting thing about radio is that it brings community together. And I think that's what's really missing in terms of, especially with conglomerate radio, where everything's being done out of the middle of the country or something along those lines. And it's just a matter of trying to get, you know, the local people involved is based, I think, really through local radio still. And I really think it's important. I really think it's important. You know, radio stations, just by how they're constructed, you have an antenna that goes out to a certain geographical area. And then the whole thing about that then is a matter of like, okay, so you get those listeners to actually, you build community around those listenership. And that's what's really important. And we're kind of doing the same thing with film, where we are taking our film to different parts of the state. We're taking it to Lewisburg on the 11th. We're going to be in Harrisburg on the 12th. Then we'll be in Westchester and also Lancaster towards the end of the month. And then we'll be in Philadelphia on the 5th of December. Because it was very important to us to share what we've created in the Lehigh Valley with the rest of the state so that we also learn from them as well to figure out who our demographic is and then who we're marketing to in the spring.
Where does the film come in your life?
It's funny because I always thought I was going to end up on Wall Street. My background's actually economics and finance. And I had a friend that was at NYU film school. And he's like, there's nobody I think that could produce a film better than you because you have this entertainment background. And then you also have this finance background. And it just makes complete sense. And so I tried to learn. I didn't know what the heck a producer did. And so I learned as much as I could. And then I fell in love with it. And so I fell in love with the whole idea that you build out the sets, you build out this entire world, which is also back from my Dorney Park days, is like we would literally create, like, for instance, Jenna the Center of the Earth. It's a horror flume ride. But then I never really got into horror because I knew that it was all fake, you know, so I couldn't suspend my belief that far. And so that was just very fascinating about growing up in the park. And so it really influenced me. And it also still influences my storytelling to this day, because I not only just create a film, I kind of create story worlds. Like, we have the feature film that's about a radio station hosting the Billboard City contest. We have a 25-episode web series that is about solely about the four people living on the billboard. And then we actually created the radio station WTYT 960, where there's over 1,000 bands from all over the world that have submitted music to us.
Now, this is something that you've pioneered, isn't it? This sense of many platforms.
It is. Yeah, yeah. I produced the first transmedia project at Sundance a couple years back. And I kind of got away from the word of transmedia and started to use the term cine experience, because it's more experiential than it is just somebody being complacent and just watching a linear storyline. So literally when I started this whole thing, like, I didn't realize that it was actually a term for it. And so I literally created across multiple medias, and it's a different part of the story on each of the media platforms. It's not the whole film, or the whole story, I should say. So that, you know, the film is about the radio station hosting the contest. And then the web series is about the four people living on the billboard with the radio station playing second fiddle. But then it's all wrapped around WTYT 960.
And we can enter it at any point and then presumably explore.
Absolutely.
What's happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So for instance, when we release the web series on February 1st, it's going to be released as like the contest is actually happening. So people will be able to communicate with the billboard sitters, with the characters, and then the characters will be responding back to them through social media. And it's all a matter of building engagement and creating a story world that is not just something that is, you're pushing the story at people, you're also trying to pull them into it. It's a matter of, like, you know, I really firmly believe that storytelling, you think about the genesis of storytelling, it started around a campfire. You know, oh, you know, the hunters and gatherers, oh, I was on this big hunt and yada, yada, yada. And so, you know, story's always been a part of our lives and it's been a part of our DNA. But then also, too, it's like, but how you tell those stories have obviously evolved. You know, it started out with plays and so forth, and it went to radio, then it went to film, then it went to TV. And so, like, we're just exploring different sorts of media to be able to tell different parts of the story, and also enabling the audience to have a sense of discovery. Because once an audience member discovers something about a project or discovers something about a story, they actually end up owning it in a certain way. And so we try and give agency to our audience as well.
You have to choose a subject or content, though, that lends itself to caring like that. I saw the trailer, and it just looks like you have such an affection for radio and these people.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And it's also, too, it is very much about Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania definitely plays a character in the story. And it's a matter of, like, I still listen to radio over Spotify or anything like that. And particularly, like, NPR right now, because of the whole political climate and everything else. And it's just a matter of, like, staying informed. And so I use that medium as my way of not only being entertained, but also being informed. And I think that's where people are going towards as well, is, like, kind of like there's a two-way street.
Give us a little bit more of the premise.
Sure, absolutely. So it's about Casey Lindeweiler, who inherits his father's radio station, and to sustain his father's legacy, after he finds a place in complete financial ruin, he decides to pull out the oldest trick in radio, which is the wacky contest. So Casey decides to host a billboard sitting contest where four people live in a billboard to one remains to win a mobile home and $960,000. The film is really about the idea of entrepreneurism and the idea of trying to succeed and trying to do something hard. I'm feeling like not enough people try anything hard anymore, that they actually give up, or it's going to be too challenging, or it's going to be, there's all these excuses. And so if there's anything that I want people to do is to, like, take away from the idea of this film is to literally try to do something hard and to try and do something that you can, you know, succeed in. And so the film was also a little bit of a study on media today, a matter of, like, I'm not necessarily talking about news media, but I'm actually talking about all media in terms of social media and everything else. And so, and also a matter of how media can affect the success or failure of somebody. And it's interesting. It's like, let's say, you know, you own a store and you have somebody working for you. That person that day at the store has a bad day, tells off a customer, and all of a sudden it's blowing up on social media and you've got no control over it. And that's what's sad in our today's day and age. So you have to be so hyper aware of everything else around you. And it's sad. It's like people can't have a bad day anymore. And it's a matter of, like, so the film was also a study on that. It's also a study on conglomerate versus independent and the fight to stay independent. So there's a lot of different themes. It's also a matter of really about legacy and a matter of, you know, parent passing something down to child and what do you do with that?
It also came through to me in the trailer, too, that there are questions of ethics involved, business ethics and what's acceptable in making these hard choices or working in this hard way. You have to ask yourself questions.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you're very observant. Thank you for that. Yeah, and those people can check out the trailer on billboardmovie.com. But it is a matter of, yeah, there's a lot of decisions that you have to make when you own a business. And they can be very hard decisions and ethical decisions. And the morality tale is what is right and what is wrong. And what might be right for you might be wrong for somebody else. And that's what's just as important. It's a matter of, like, kind of trying to think above self than being selfish. And the idea of really trying to do something hard, that's the thing. It's like people just don't, it's a matter of working. It's a matter of getting something done. And this whole film is, and this whole product's been a very much a testament to that, because what we're trying to do has not been easy, especially how I'm trying to pioneer this new form of storytelling. So we do a lot of speaking. We do a lot of engagements on university and colleges and things. We do a lot of local things as well, just because I feel like it's important for people to understand why I do what I do. And also then, too, is what is the benefit of doing so.
Do you still work out of Allentown? Is that home base?
Yeah. Yeah. We actually have a studio in Easton, which is in a former old silk mill, of all things. So we've been there for 2 years now, you know, so it's a very creative area. And so it's cool to basically breathe new life into something that has been, unfortunately, almost thrown away. But I'm glad that the developer brought in and everything else. And so we've been very happy there.
And you're so close to New York and Philadelphia.
Exactly.
Too.
Yeah, it's funny because I went to grad school at Syracuse. And when I was at school, my professor's like, what the heck are you doing here? Go make movies. You know, why spend $27,000 going to school at that time? Make your first movie for that amount of money. And so I heeded her advice, refinanced the only asset that I had, which was a Jeep. I got $12,000 and I started my company. And I moved back to my hometown because I was very discouraged by how people perceive my hometown of Allentown, thanks to the Billy Joel song. And so I literally moved home to make a difference. Obviously, I have a lot of family pride, having Dorney Park in my blood. And Pennsylvania definitely is something I'm extremely proud of. And so I literally moved home to make a difference. When I first moved home, people thought I was insane. and they thought they was never going to be able to be successful and yada, yada, yada. But I'm literally living proof that you can be successful, whatever you set your mind to. And so I've been producing films there now for 21 years, and we've had quite a bit of success. We're very proud of that.
Tell us what's led up to this. What are some of the other projects?
Oh, sure. So my first film was called Affairs. It was not exactly the best film ever, I'll be honest with you. This has all been a learning experience. Every film I do, I learn for the next project. But Affairs ended up breaking box office records locally, which then ended up enabling me to get invited to the Sundance Producers Conference, where there's only 50 people around the world get invited to. And so I was able to make connections very, very early in my career. And then, you know, I work on other people's work as well. I've worked on a film called Loggerheads. I was the producer on that, that also premiered at Sundance. I've worked with David Cronenberg. I've worked with some amazing, amazing people. So I've worked on about over a dozen films in my career. I brought many films to the Lehigh Valley to shoot in. My last feature film, In Search Of, was very successful, more so in Europe than here because of the subject matter. But it ended up being on the top 10 all-time dramas on Hulu for over 7 years. And I took that film as a way to explore different ways to distribute a film. So we were on a lot of the digital platforms before anybody else was. So we've been kind of like leading the charge and doing something different and new, and where I'm not afraid to fail. I'm going to fail. And I've got no problem with that because I learned from that to be able to go forward. And that's a big thing too, is like somebody shouldn't be afraid to fail, because it's amazing of how many things come out of that. I mean, mind you, not everything that I've done has been extraordinarily financially successful, but I'm still doing it. So I've had enough success to be able to keep driving the bus. And it's just a matter of getting more people involved and more people on board to be able to keep going forward.
And you have somebody like Eric Roberts in this film.
Oh, yeah. Eric is a trip. Yeah, we have Eric Roberts. He's an amazing to work with. He is a worker. And I have a lot of respect for people that work. I've also worked with other actors in my career that are more so a matter of process than they are about work. But the actors in Billboard like dug in and got the job done. And it was a tough shoot. Very, very tough shoot. You know, we have John Robinson, who is in Lords of Dogtown, the movie Elephant, which is Gus Van Sant's film about Columbine. And he's also in the film Transformers, little film Transformers. Yeah, little film. Then we have Heather Matarazzo, who is the lead in Welcome to the Dollhouse and also Princess Diaries. And then Leo Fitzpatrick, who is in the movie Kids, Gotham, and also Bully. And it's funny because people don't necessarily recognize Leo. But once you see him, they're like, oh my gosh, now I know who he is. And I was just like, it's just a lot of fun. So I cast the film a very specific way because I wanted it to be about authenticity. So I wanted to cast actors that people kind of recognize but not necessarily know. And so that's one reason why I cast the actors that I did. Is one is they're amazing, amazing actors that at the same time is kind of like breathe the air of authenticity to the story.
When did you do the bulk of that work, shooting?
Sure. So we shot the film over the course of 9 months. We loaded in for 4 months of principal photography in August of 2016. And then we ended up picking up various shots throughout the course of 9 months because we wanted the seasons to be changing. So we loaded in for over the course of 4 weeks. We built a huge billboard off of Route 22 in Allentown in the Rothrock Motor Sales lot. And it just has been unbelievable. It was a very, very tough shoot because not only do you have to worry about what the billboard looks like and everything else, but also, too, is to be able to do the scenes properly, you have to raise all your gear. And so that's something that people don't think about. It's a matter of, like, if you have a camera and also all the people working, you then have to have scaffolding, you have to have scissor lifts, you have to have cranes to be able to get everything up to the same level so you can get those one angles up. So production-wise, it was a challenge, but it's also pretty cool and pretty exciting to be able to do something like that. My next film won't be, I don't think, as challenging, but it's been a wild ride.
You're very open about being someone who's not afraid to take risks, and you're always learning, it sounds like, and wanting to grow and push the envelope and do those hard things. What kinds of lessons have you taken away so far from this?
It's a matter of, I believe in story R&D, story research and development. And so I like to actually create things and then test them and then go back to the drawing board. It's a long process, mind you. This is not something you can all of a sudden have the genesis of an idea, create the script, go shoot it next week, and all of a sudden you have the finished project in 3 months. I take a little bit more of a longer approach to it because also, too, is because my wife and I have quite a bit of money at stake in this stuff, too. So a lot of the things that I've done have pretty much been self-funded. So obviously I have to protect my investment. And also we do have investors in it as well, so I have to protect them as well. And so I generally take things where I test things a lot more than what I just like throw it out and see if it sticks. That's another reason why we're doing this PA Proud Tour right now too. But some of the things that I've learned is a matter of being humble and using humility, because what you intend to create isn't necessarily how it's going to be perceived. It's a matter of knowing who your market is early on and market to that audience, not necessarily the audience that you want to market to. It's a matter of being willing to adjust on the fly and realize that something that you originally thought of is not working. And it's a matter of like really being true to the project. And what I mean by that is like kind of taking your ego and everybody else's ego out of it and literally worrying about what is going to be best for the story. And, you know, so there's certain people that didn't make the cut. And unfortunately, that is the nature of the beast of my business. And but it's a matter of like having a reason for everything that you do, not just because it's cool. Like I'm not a style over substance kind of director. I am definitely a substance over style. My favorite director of all time is Elia Kazan, who just dug in and got the job done and just was like really much a beast of a director all the way across, you know, from theater to film to everything. And all of his films are very authentic. They're very real. You would think that these characters are living, breathing things. And that's kind of like the approach that I take. And so that's one reason why I create the way I do.
Have your neighbors in Allentown seen the film?
Oh, yeah, sure. So we actually started showing the film on Thursday night to sold out audiences, thank God. And so it's been awesome to see that we've gotten so much support. And so we are taking it down the road. And I can't wait to share it with audiences that are not in our backyard and that we don't have as much affinity to. And so we can also learn from them as well. So we will be having Q&A sessions after the film where people can ask me anything. And I try and be as transparent about the process as possible. I am a working filmmaker. I am a self-funded filmmaker. And I do things a lot differently than my peers. Because also, too, is I think I'm a business person. I have to think about how I'm going to make money. I have to think about, like, you know, how do you drive revenue early onto a project? I have to think of all these sorts of things that are not just really filmmaker-centric, but it's actually business-centric. Like, any business has to worry about keeping the lights on. And so I do the same sort of thing.
Now, when you get to the point of distribution outside of the Commonwealth, how will you proceed, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So we actually are pre-gaming that now. So we're going to be releasing the film nationally on April 5th. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be primarily focused on the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast. We're going to go market to market saturation, and then we're going to spread across the country from there. Because I firmly believe in grassroots marketing. I feel like, you know, I want to be approachable to my audience. I want people to ask me questions. If somebody doesn't like something, I've got no problem. I've got very thick skin. Sometimes. But so we have a very deliberate way of how we want to release this. And so we're also going to be looking for business to get involved. Because one of the things that we did in production was we green screened the billboards. So that basically means we can actually change out the billboards based on where we actually distribute the film. And so that, you know, businesses can get exposed within the storytelling apparatus that we've created. So we're going to be going out to businesses because also, too, is one of the reasons why we did this tour was to actually learn who our audience is so that we can better sell to those businesses that need that type of exposure. So we're just trying to be smart about things. And unfortunately, sometimes being smart isn't the fastest thing either. Oftentimes things you have to think about over the course of time. Not everything's going to be like, oh, my gosh, you know, all these sparks are flying because they eventually will burn out. So we're trying to take the long game and everything.
I noticed in the trailer, your lead character pounding his head near a rack of, was it LPs?
Yeah, vinyl. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, is it's kind of fun because music is on so many different formats, too, now. You've got the revival of vinyl. And it's funny because I saw at Urban Outfitters not too long ago where, like, cassette tapes they started to sell. They're not doing nearly as well as vinyl is, but then I'm waiting for 8-track. You know, imagine 8-tracks that are coming out. But it's kind of interesting that music kind of take this road of different sorts of formats to be able to be deliverables. And then film is doing the same sort of thing. And it's very interesting. It's a matter of like people talk about our market being very fragmented, the film market being very fragmented because there's so many different ways the audience be able to see things. So why not create different parts of the project on those platforms? That's literally what I'm doing. Yeah, so it's different. It's very different. And I have to educate people constantly about how I do what I'm doing and why I'm doing what I'm doing. And then all of a sudden, people in the industry are like, oh my gosh, that's so smart. And it's a matter of like, well, I've been at it for a while, but we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of trying to lead by example and realizing that this project is also part of the learning curve to be able to do the next ones.
So are you always then already thinking ahead to
project? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
because I have to, because it's a matter of, one is, it's easier to raise money when you're making money, honestly. And also, two, it's a matter of, like, I need to mentally be preparing for the next project, because too much downtime ends up making things stale, I guess you would say. And so, like, I have my next project, and I want to be shooting that by the end of next year.
What music will we hear in the film?
What music? Oh, my gosh. So all the music that was selected for the film was all based on the music that was submitted to our radio station, WTYT 960. So we licensed the music for the soundtrack for the film and the web series from those bands that are all over the world. Like, we're really popular in Malta, of all things. Who would have thought we'd be popular in Malta? We're very popular in Rome, Italy. And it's just bizarre how things take off online. And then we had an amazing composer by the name of Patrick Wilson, who's also from Allentown, do the score for us as well. And this film was completely made in Pennsylvania, which we're really excited about.
Is there a film bureau in Pennsylvania?
There is. It's actually based out of Harrisburg. And then there's also a film office in Philadelphia and also Pittsburgh. And I started one in the Lehigh Valley, but I couldn't run it because it was a conflict of interest. So there are film organizations, or is a Pennsylvania tax credit. But at the same time, that tax credit is more so for filmmakers coming outside the area coming in than it is for those people in the state, which is actually kind of like disheartening, because, you know, I've been making films here now for 21 years. I've spent a lot of money making films in the area, so I've got a huge economic benefit. I understand the economics of it all. And so I really feel like the state should also foster filmmakers from the state so that we don't leave. The thing is that people don't realize, like, I get asked all the time to shoot in Utah, in North Carolina, in Georgia, in L.A., and I stuck to my guns of staying here. And so, in theory, what I should do is I should be able to have those same sort of benefits that other filmmakers from outside the state would have. You know, there's certain sorts of challenges in that, but we're trying to, you know, work through it.
Well, the Campus Theater is a wonderful venue. You want us to come, then see it, enjoy it, and stay around to talk with you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the Campus Theater is really cool because it's actually an old Deco theater. And I ended up doing some work for a company in Lewisburg, the Miller Center, and we drove by it one day, and I'm like, what's that? And she's like, oh, it's a theater. It's one screen and everything else. And I made her stop the car, and I got out to look at the darn thing because it was just gorgeous. And she's like, oh, let's see if we can go inside. And I saw the inside of it, just like, holy cow, just absolutely stunning. You know, so I literally reached out to them about screening Billboard, and like, yeah, sure, love to have you. So we've been there twice now. We were there earlier today. We were there 2 weeks ago, and we'll be there on Thursday again promoting it. So again, it's at Campus Theater on November 11th at 1 o'clock. And then shortly after that, we'll be having the Q&A that same day.
And can we be in touch with you on the website for the film?
Actually, the best way to reach me is through info@WTYT960.com, because we have two different websites. One is Billboard Movie, which is solely about the film. And then we have WTYT960 that is about the radio station. It's great because we discovered a lot of bands through WTYT960. And it's just unbelievable what you can do when you just put it out there and help people. Because that's a big thing. We're trying to be as selfless as possible with this whole process. We're really trying to help other people, other creatives as well. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, I've had people reach out to me when I'd speak at a college or something and be like, hey, you know, would you have coffee with me because I need help in something? And I'm like, yeah, sure. What the heck? If I'm available, I'll do anything. And I firmly believe that. The challenge is my availability starting to close up. But I'm still willing to definitely participate.
Zeke Zelker, longtime filmmaker from the Lehigh Valley, speaking with us about his newest cine experience, Billboard, a feature film, a 25 web episode series, and a virtual radio station, WTYT960.com. Billboard will be screened this Sunday, November 11th at 1 p.m. at the Campus Theater, 413 Market Street in Lewisburg, with a Q&A with Zeke to follow. For more information on the web, billboardmovie.com, billboardmovie.com. And as Zeke tells us, there's also a website for the radio station, WTYT960.com. And those are numerals, 960, WTYT960.com. Billboard to be screened this Sunday, November 11th at 1 in the afternoon at the Campus Theater, 413 Market Street in Lewisburg, with a Q&A session with Zeke to follow. For more information on the web, billboardmovie.com, billboardmovie.com.